Hello, this is Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the ISSB, and I'm joined today by our Chair, Emmanuel Faubert, and we're recording this podcast here in Frankfurt during our October Board Week. So Emmanuel, last time we recorded a podcast, amazingly, we were looking ahead to a New York Climate Week, where we had a great week of engagements with key stakeholders, including our Investor Advisory Group and our IFRS Sustainability Alliance. But perhaps you could give us an update on progress since that week that seems so long ago.
Yeah, sure, Sue. Thank you. And yes, indeed, we've been very busy, so it looks like it was a long time ago. Maybe I could focus on three areas of progress. One being the progress toward the jurisdictional adoption of our own standards, the partners that we work with, and our capacity building and translation efforts. So first and foremost on adoption, I'd like to fly two key examples of our progress. One is the ACMF, where firstly, the IFRS Foundation has signed a protocol with the ASEAN Capital Markets Forum. Our colleague Bing Lang in Bali was there to sign the protocol and participate in their annual conference. And this will provide a regular platform for interaction with the ASEAN capital markets, which represent the securities regulators and capital markets authorities in the region. It will help us discuss pathways to the adoption of ISSB standards in the region and provide a mean of getting their input into our future development and opportunity to collaborate around capacity building. So with, you know, this region, we are really happy to have such a protocol in place to continue to support the implementation of S1 and S2 in this growing part of the world. I think another element on which we already commented was Brazil. As we were with our trustees in Latin America for a week of meeting, the Brazilian regulators announced last week that the ISSB standards will be incorporated into the Brazilian regulatory framework, with a roadmap to move from voluntary use starting in 24 to mandatory use on January 26. They signal, interestingly, that they see our standards as being able to strengthen the Brazilian capital markets by enhancing transparency around sustainability matters and therefore facilitate companies to attract capital both locally and globally for investment. I'd really like to commend the Brazilian Ministry of Finance and the Comissão de Valores Mobiliários for providing clarity to companies and investors in Brazil and beyond by setting, as we have already encouraged jurisdiction to do, a very clear roadmap towards and in their journey to mandatory adoption. So that were, I think, important recent development. But Sue, could you touch also on the progress that we're making with other partners?
Sure. So looking at sort of the broader ecosystem, if you like. So the first one I wanted to mention was the publication in the UK, of the TPT framework, the Transition Plan Task Force framework, which is a really great complement to our standards. So we know that companies have taken the decision or are being asked to develop plans to explain how they transition to being more climate resilient, including through lower carbon business models. So for those companies, the publication of the TPT disclosure framework will be welcomed. And it's a really great complement to our standards. So if you are putting together a transition plan, then providing information about that is something we require in S2. And also the framework provides some more ideas for good disclosures around transition plans. So great complement to our work. Looking to Europe, we are really thrilled for our colleagues in the European Union following the confirmation in European Parliament of the final adoption of the European Sustainability Reporting Standards, which is a really super important milestone in the introduction of mandatory sustainability disclosure requirements. And we, of course, are continuing to work with our colleagues at the Commission and with EFRAG on the interoperability of our standards. We've got a high degree of alignment, and we are now working hard to agree how we can communicate that to our stakeholders. So we're really thankful for that ongoing collaboration. On the TCFD front, people might remember that we're thrilled to be taking over the responsibility for the future reporting on progress in the adoption of disclosures consistent with the TCFD framework. So exciting to see the TCFD publish their final self-produced status report, the 2023 status report, which includes updates on how its work also relates to that of the ISSB. So this is the report that marks the disbanding of the TCFD as we take over this monitoring work from 2024. Now, the third area you flagged, Emmanuel, is something we might want to talk about, was capacity building and translation. So do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, thank you, Sue. And that's really a huge amount of work for our teams and partners in preparation of COP28. We promised last year at COP27 that we'd be up and running on a capacity building program to educate, train, and start using for stakeholders, market participants, and regulators about our standards. And we are now very active delivering that for next month. We are collaborating, as I just said, with partners such as the UN Sustainability Stock Exchange Initiatives and others to develop materials for training and education, but also processes in the field on how to deliver those materials, which will include our knowledge hub and a few other ways of ensuring that educational materials are ready for our stakeholders. I'd like to just point to one aspect, which I think is probably not highlighted enough in terms of its significance, which is the huge amount of work that is happening with translations. We believe that the first basic element for capacity building and starting using the language is the translation of our standards. And I have to say, I'm really happy and proud that with all the efforts coming right now and with our partners busy on translating, we hope that we would have the ISSB standards available in 10 different languages by the time they come into effect around January 24. So that is vital. And to me, it's a very basic, simple in a way, but really critical aspect of the inclusiveness of the global baseline that we want to create. Sue, we also engage with a lot of stakeholders in addition to all the work that we've just described. Do you want to tell us a bit more about what we did the last couple of weeks?
Sure, and hard to do justice to this because I think we're all out talking to people all over the place all the time, but I'll highlight a few sort of key events that we've been involved in. The first I'd like to mention is the World Standard Setters Meeting, which is an annual meeting that the IFRS Foundation runs, and we did this in conjunction with our sister board, the International Accounting Standards Board, where we met with the national standard setters to discuss with this audience the work we're doing on our standards and also to hear from them their perspectives on working towards the use of our standards, adoption of sustainability reporting around the world. A number of us were in Tokyo for the investor event, PRI in person, which was great. And again, we were able to meet with members of our investor advisory group and members of the IFRS Sustainability Alliance, along with loads of other stakeholders in Tokyo. So that was a great event for us as well. Emmanuel mentioned in passing that we were in Panama just last week at the trustees meeting. That was a great opportunity to meet with local stakeholders in Latin America. And in addition to that great announcement from Brazil that Emmanuel mentioned, we were also thrilled that the Superintendency of Banks of Panama announced their support for the ISSB and their commitment to promoting use of our standards for regulated entities. So, you know, really important to us as well how prudential regulators are building on our standards. And that, I think, brings us nicely to this week. So our board week here in Frankfurt, where we've had a number of our board sessions, public as usual. And the first was on Tuesday, where we had the opportunity for the first time, I think, to have external guests come to a formal ISSB board meeting. Probably appropriate that our first guests were GRI, given our MOU. So we were delighted to have Carol Adams, the chair of the GRI Technical Standard Setting Board, and Bastian Buck, their chief of standards, come and talk to us about their work. So maybe, Emmanuel, you could give us a bit more color on that.
Yeah, sure. And we also had Jeff Robertson virtually, the vice chair of the GSSB. And Carol and Bastian talked to us about the program of work that they have over the next 2 years to develop and implement GRI standards. As you pointed to, indeed, we had signed an MOU with GRI in 2022 already, and where we had agreed that where relevant, we would try to align our respective work programs and would seek all sort of ways to reduce the reporting burden for companies. So, of course, information sharing sessions like this one help further our collaboration. And I just want to express my gratitude to the GRI leadership to have taken the time, and as well, by the way, our gratefulness for having had in the past already reciprocal opportunities to present to the GSSB public sessions on our progress. The other thing I would mention is in the GRI context is that currently our technical teams are working on mapping our respective greenhouse gas emissions disclosure requirements now that we have published our standards. They are available publicly, and we hope that we'll be able to publish that joint mapping later this year. So we really look forward to continuing our global cooperation with GRI to enable companies to efficiently report addressing a multi-stakeholder audience, and that was a very good session. We had more sessions and more technicals. Do you want to talk to us about that?
Sure. So we had a session on educational materials. So this was a great opportunity for the staff to update the board and in turn our stakeholders on the work that they are doing to develop educational materials to support the application of S1 and S2 and to get advice and feedback from the board about this process. Maybe to give a little bit of color to what I'm talking about when I talk about educational materials, don't get hung up on the label. It can be a whole range of different types of stuff that is guidance to help people really understand what our words mean and what you're being asked to do when you apply our standards. And the important thing, and that the reason we use that label, is that this can't add to or change the requirements in the standards. It's designed to aid understanding of what we wrote in S1 and S2, and that's really, really important. So we talked about some of the materials that the staff is working on and planning at the moment. One area that the people listening to us will already be aware of is the work that we're doing to provide some examples on the application of S2 with nature-related and social aspects of climate, which we plan to publish before the end of the year. They also told us that they're looking at developing some materials on current and anticipated effects, the requirements in S1 and S2. And we are, of course, continuing to work on providing something in the public domain about how to apply European sustainability reporting standards alongside ours, and also thinking about what we do on the GRI front there. So that was discussed as well. The other thing we talked about in our meeting was the SASB standards, where we had the benefit of a paper which gave an update for the full board on the work that the board advisors have been doing with the staff on finalising this work to improve the international applicability of the SASB standards. It was a summary of some of the key decisions and an explanation. Again, an opportunity for other board members to ask questions. I think the highlight here, you've heard a lot about this project in the past, so I'll just highlight that we're on track towards finalising these important amendments to improve the accessibility, really, of the SASB standards to support the application of S1. We have a black line out for really editorial review at the moment, and we are on track to finalise those standards before the end of the year. And we are also planning to, of course, do more work in the future on the SASB standards. We were really delighted to receive quite a bit of feedback about ideas on that front, both in the response to the methodology ED on the SASB standards and also in the agenda consultation. And we're going to feed all of that into our upcoming discussions on our future work program. Which is a good point, perhaps, Emmanuel, to ask you whether you want to give our listeners a bit of an update on the key themes that we are aware of on the agenda consultation.
Yeah, sure, Sue. And that wasn't a topic for discussion this time indeed, but we certainly receive a lot of questions by our stakeholders who are really keen to know where we're going and what the results of this consultation is. So I think the main topic here is to say, be patient. It's a super important topic. It's not an easy one for us. There are many multidimensional aspects that we need to take into account for that. And we will re-deliberate with all the due process and attention on topics of that nature over time. So what I could say to summarize is that we received, as we already shared, more than 400 responses, met over 3,000 stakeholders during the consultation. So to any same kind of consultation in the past, that's really a huge participation. And I want to express our collective gratitude to our stakeholders for taking the time of doing this. I also believe that the survey format that we've used has been helping the cost effectiveness and decision usefulness, hopefully, of the process itself for consultation, grabbing more input at a lower cost from our stakeholders. That feedback will inform both our work plan, but also our approach to future projects. So, in other words, not only the what, but also the how of how we are going to do things. We are obviously committed to balance the advancement of new projects in a timely manner with definitely the absolute necessity of supporting the effective implementation of IFRS S1 and IFRS S2 that are only 4 months old and not even effective yet. So we will carefully analyze these responses and considering all comments. What I can say probably very early, the big picture themes would include from our respondents a desire for the ISSB to set out a roadmap that would basically bring visibility on where we're going and our strategy. A request for the ISSB to pursue interoperability at pace to reduce the duplication for preparers and secure consistency and comparability for users, while more and more conversations are taking place from a jurisdictional standpoint about developing sets of sustainability standards around the world now. A need to balance different views on timelines, which is going to be a delicate matter because many have reiterated that it is important to take time, as I said, to ensure we get the implementation of S1 and S2 right. For those who are already well advanced with disclosures in geographies or jurisdictions where that is the case, they're more keen to see us move more quickly to address all sustainability issues beyond the S1 requirements through new ISSB standards developed. I would say that when consulted about the four topics and research project that we have put in our RFI, I can say at this stage that we heard general support for doing research in these areas, but with significant different kinds of colors around that, which in due course, of course, will mean we need to be paying a lot of attention to the conclusion that we're driving to that. So with all of that, we continue to believe that the first half of next year is basically the right moment for us, or period, I would say, to gradually land our strategy with more detailed analysis, starting a discussion probably around January, around all of these topics. So with that, I think that concludes what has been a pretty busy few weeks since we had our board meeting in Montreal in September. That was a super interesting week here in Frankfurt. Next month, we'll be in Beijing for the first time in our Beijing office with nearly the full board meeting there and a lot of our staff. So looking forward to catching up with you all after the Beijing week. Thank you.
For the latest developments from either the International Sustainability Standards Board or the International Accounting Standards Board, make sure to subscribe on the IFRS Foundation website, www.ifrs.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take some time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player.